I think it has been about 7 or 8 years since I was last here, which was my first visit when your pastor was away on a family mission. And it is great to be back with you again, this time on the occasion of the presbytery meeting that was held here. We do thank you, and you will receive official notification of that appreciation by mail, but be assured of our gratitude for your generous care and provision for our needs during that that meeting. It went well, and we enjoyed receiving your blessings and enjoying your fellowship. We are gathered here this morning, as we gather every Lord's Day, I'm sure, to celebrate the great victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, a victory which is ours as well. The Christian faith and our living hope are based on the great fact of Christ's resurrection. It is truly the foundation, the pillar of our Christian belief. And this has become commonplace among Christians. We all confess with the Apostles' Creed, as we will in a few moments, that on the third day he rose again from the dead, as well as our belief in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. That is historic Christianity. But it has not always been the case in Christian congregations. And sad to say, there are signs of waffling in our own day for a variety of reasons. But in the first century, in the city of Corinth, to which Paul wrote a couple of letters that we have, there were some church members who denied the resurrection. If not the resurrection of Jesus, then certainly of believers in him. The Apostle Paul realized that this was a totally inconsistent and erroneous view. He writes a little after the portion that was read that if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? So here are Christian people who are openly denying the resurrection of Jesus. Why and how this denial happened is still something of a mystery. It's possible that many were influenced by the dominant Greek philosophy that contained the idea that the human body is a prison of man's immortal soul, and the great aspiration is to throw off the constraints of the body. Or perhaps they thought they had already experienced the resurrection. After all, the Holy Spirit has come, been poured out from heaven. They now possess a new life in Jesus Christ. They have victory over sin and sickness, suffering, and Satan. The resurrection has already occurred, and we are the beneficiaries of it. This is a form of what we might call triumphalism that finds expression even in our own day in various types of prosperity Christianity, right? There are teachers who declare that God wants you rich and healthy, free from trouble. You should have a comfortable life without struggle or suffering. What a cruel hoax it seems to me on the majority of Christians in the world in our own day who live in poverty and under various forms of oppression. So Paul, in order to counteract that way of thinking, returns to the basics of the faith. He reminds these people of what they should know already because he had preached it to them some time before. He told them facts of primary importance when he was among them, that Christ died and was buried. He was raised from the dead and appeared to his disciples. And all of this happened in accordance with the scriptures, that is the Old Testament that they possessed, had predicted these things. And most of the people of Israel expected them. And now the Messiah has suffered death as a sacrifice of atonement for sins. He was buried to confirm the reality of his death. His body was raised from the grave. He appeared physically, visibly to his disciples as a testimony of his victory. What a marvelous bundle of good news this was for these people. This morning in my Bible reading, I was led to don't think that's a mystical leading. We have a guide that tells me what to read, but to the appearance of our Lord in the upper room the Sunday after he was raised from the dead to Thomas, who refused to believe unless he could touch and feel and see the risen Savior. And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." And that has been the case for centuries. None of us has seen in the flesh the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus' death on the cross was necessary for the removal of sins. His resurrection was necessary as a sign of God's approval for what he had done in his ministry, culminating in death, and giving his disciples assurance of life beyond this present world. And so we may rightly call this the gospel of the resurrection, because some of the people in Corinth denied the full truth about this very fundamental doctrine. Make no mistake, this gospel of the resurrection is basic to our very existence as Christians. As Christians in the past, as we are Christians in life today, and for our future. Paul opens this great chapter 15 of his first epistle with these words: "I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." In the first place, then, Paul says that this is the gospel that they and we have previously heard and received. In the past, the Corinthians and we in this generation made a decision to receive Christ, to believe the truth about him that was declared to us. The message of the gospel has to be believed in order to do us any good. Messiah without any followers, a Jesus without any disciples who love and accept him would be a lonely, frustrated, defeated figure. And even more, apart from faith, without our acceptance of Christ and the truth concerning him, we get no help from the gospel. The benefits that are promised don't come to people automatically simply because they are born or even because they have heard something. No. These benefits of the gospel are unlike some other benefits of God, because some things, of course, people benefit from without any recognition or gratitude. The rain, the sunshine benefits your lawn and garden, regardless of your faith, regardless of any gratitude you may express to God for that rain. Lawns turn green, plants grow, with or without a proper attitude on the part of the people who are minding them. Not so with the gospel. It must be received with faith and with love. Paul is a perfect example of this. Earlier in his life, he had received the gospel from Christ, but he wasn't always a disciple. I mean, not even from the very beginning of the ministry of the Lord, like the other apostles. He wasn't always a disciple. Years later, he remained conscious, even then, of his unworthiness to even be a Christian, because he had previously persecuted the church of God. He sought to destroy the followers of Jesus. He chased them from one town to another. He put them in prison. He delighted in seeing them put to death. And then one day, you remember, on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ met Saul of Tarsus, as he was then known, and made himself known to this brutal Pharisee. And Paul was converted. He turned about face from being a rejecter of Jesus to being an acceptor of Christ and the gospel about him. He believed that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. He committed himself to the Lord and his service. We have done that if we are Christians. We've experienced, by God's grace, a real change of heart and mind. There's a great value to being raised in a Christian home, one where Jesus is worshiped and loved, and where the instruction from the Scriptures occurs. I thank God myself for growing up in such a home. But it wasn't sufficient for me to have devout parents. I had to believe the gospel for myself when I began to understand what was involved in it. God made me willing. He opened my eyes and my heart and changed me. But I believed in Christ and embraced that truth about him. And this is true of every believer today. Even if you can't nail down the exact time that it all happened, it has happened. The gospel of the resurrection is truly good news only to those who personally and sincerely receive it. The Corinthians, in some time before this letter was written, had done this. Although now some doubted or even denied it. Have you believed this gospel? You can be happy today. You can enter the church's celebration of the triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ only if you have received Jesus and the great truth about his death and his resurrection on the third day. This is the gospel that we received. You received it. And then Paul says, this is the gospel in which you now stand firm. It's our present way of life today and tomorrow, the week ahead. The gospel is more than just ancient history. Yes, these are events that occurred in the past, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But the gospel is more than a simple recital of something that happened long ago. And it is more than simply a decision that we made 10 or 20 or more years ago. It is a present reality, something that affects our daily living. We stand in it. I think it is so sad and pathetic to see people trying to live in the past, to live off of an ancient, as it were, experience, supposedly, of Christ. They have no ongoing relationship with God. They merely recall something that they did long ago. Maybe it was a time when they knelt at the altar in the front of the church, or walked down an aisle, or raised their hand in a meeting. And that was it. And now they try to survive on the memory of that past experience. Well, you know, I don't know what I'm doing today, or I don't think maybe I'm continuing in faith and in the life that I have. But I know I'm all right, because a long time ago I did that. It's as though they had received a very large sum of money many years ago and took it many hundreds of hundred dollar bills, and hid that under the mattress, where it just sits there and doesn't grow. In fact, because of inflation, it decreases in value. And they spend, they get in there every once in a while and spend a little bit of that money, and at last it shrinks to nothing. These people's Christianity is like that. It's like a cut flower, fresh and beautiful at the beginning, but it slowly, maybe even quickly, fades and dries out and withers away. My wife and I bought some flowers at the farmer's market about a week ago, the day before Easter, when we were going to visit our son and daughter-in-law and their family. And even 24 hours later, after we had bought these flowers, they were beginning to get a little wilty. Is that a word? And I'm sure that they haven't survived for the week. That's the way some people's confession of Christianity is. But it can't be like that. It is God's truth, this gospel, for today. I live with the assurance of the forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus did on the cross. And God now accepts me in his Son. The resurrection of Christ is the source of new birth, life, and hope. Listen to how the Apostle Peter puts it in his the opening verses of his first letter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he writes. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Do you hear those notes of joy, vitality? No, Christianity does not, being a Christian doesn't exempt us from trouble here. We are still human. We are still living in a world that is under the curse of sin. In fact, embracing the gospel may even create or increase certain kinds of problems that we have. You may need to take an unpopular stand against the habits of your family or the practices of the community or society in which you live. And of course, all of us will experience a loss and eventually, unless the Lord returns, death. But the gospel gives us a firm foothold for life every day. The cross of Christ, the empty tomb, these are the great realities that God has made known that give meaning, direction, significance to our life each day. Life for a Christian is not just a meaningless, senseless cycle of eating and sleeping, of working a lot and maybe playing a little week after week after week. No, the gospel gives us a place to stand. It gives us a motivation for serving the Lord, a perspective on what is happening in the world, a stability and a deep and lasting joy. We received this gospel by faith. And now we stand in it. Finally, Paul says, this is the gospel by which we are being saved. This has to do not only with the past or with today, the present, but also with our future. The resurrection of Christ gives us hope for our future. As the tense of the word implies here, we are now being saved. We are in the way to a full and complete salvation and deliverance from all difficulty, pain, and trouble, and sin. Already we have the first installment, but the full inheritance, the total package, if you will, is yet to come. When we come to the end of this earthly life and we die, then as believers, we will pass into the glorious presence of God. And when Jesus Christ himself personally returns, our bodies will be raised, just as his was, to share in the glory of the new world that will be revealed at that time. We must pay close attention to the complete message of God. You are being saved, Paul says to these Christians, if you hold fast to the word that Paul and the other apostles preached. It is essential that you hang on to the gospel, that you persevere in the faith of Christ. If your grip on the gospel, on the truth, on Christ himself is so shaky that you're not really trusting and relying on Jesus, that's not a faith that saves. So we need constantly to remember and reinforce to ourselves the heart of the gospel. Christ was crucified for our own sins. He is now risen from the dead. Are you committed to that truth as it is in Jesus? The good news of the Bible is all about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his ability to save sinners. And there is nothing more important for you today that you believe in him and again give your life to him. Christianity is not simply concerned with mere survival or improvement of the few years that we enjoy on this earth. It is concerned not even with immortality of the soul, but with the resurrection. False religions go on and on about the transmigration of souls or reincarnation. Modern movie stars babble about their previous lives and future embodiments in another place. This isn't the gospel. That is a counterfeit spirituality. Only the gospel of the resurrection is able to save you completely and forever. As you have received this gospel, this good news from God, hold on to it firmly today and every day. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we praise you for the accomplishment of the gospel and the sending of your Son in the likeness of human flesh to live and to die for sinners and then to rise again from the dead and ascend into heaven where he is now seated at your right hand. May we cling to that Savior and to the truth of the gospel about him, that we might also one day experience the fullness of the resurrection when he comes, and our bodies, though long dead and decayed, will be raised to live forever with him. These things we ask, and we pray for the grace to persevere in this faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.